Good afternoon, 4:30 and 52 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Courtney Howe.
They are by far our largest employer. These two plant closings will be devastating.
Adams County, Ohio banker Michael Pell says today's announcement by DP&L that it is closing the Stewart and Killen coal plants will have a multi-million dollar impact on the regional economy.
President Trump will be in Kentucky tonight to talk on health care and the economy.
And negotiations continue to finalize a contract for Moorhead State University's next president.
In sports, the Kentucky basketball team is looking forward to its rematch with UCLA this Friday.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Thunderstorms likely tonight, low around 50 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Despite recent appeals from local officials in both Kentucky and Ohio, the Dayton Power and Light Company today announced that it will close its two coal-fired power plants in Adams County. DP&L says it will retire both the J.M. Stewart and Killen stations in mid-2018. The company says they are no longer economically viable. DP&L also says it will invest in green energy and economic development initiatives in southern Ohio. The Stewart plant has about 380 employees. Around 110 people work at the Killen station. The mills also employ contractors.
The president of the First State Bank of Adams County says it's hard to put a happy face on the DP&L decision. Michael Pell says it's quite a blow.
Our small community of Adams County will be devastated by these two plant closings. It represents approximately 700 jobs. It represents what we're estimating is $45 million pulled from our local economy. That would be $9 million in property tax base and $35 million in salaries.
DP&L says it's fully committed to helping its workforce make the transition.
Maysville Mayor David Cartmell has been one of the local leaders hoping to persuade DP&L to keep its coal-fired plants open. He says the good-paying jobs at the Ohio facilities have meant a lot to the regional economy. However, when the utility announced earlier that it intended to mothball the mills, Cartmell says the die was cast.
I would say when the power company wants to get out of the coal business, that's pretty much the last nail in the coffin.
The Stewart and Killen plants have an annual payroll of more than $30 million.
The Maysville Ledger Independent is reporting that an investigation has begun into the Friday night death of an inmate at the Adams County, Ohio jail. 26-year-old Derek Poe of Stout, Ohio, was pronounced dead at Adams County Regional Medical Center after being found unresponsive in his cell. A sheriff's deputy says the victim appeared to have self-inflicted wounds, but an autopsy is being conducted in Dayton. Poe had been locked up since February 8th.
WSAZ is reporting that two men were arrested on drug trafficking charges in Martin County Sunday after police stopped their vehicle near an apartment complex in Warfield. 29-year-old Andre Pardue and 31-year-old Jonathan Brewer, both of St. Albans, West Virginia, are charged with two counts of trafficking in a controlled substance and possession of drug paraphernalia. Martin deputies say they found syringes and bags of what they believe was heroin, Xanax, and methamphetamine inside the suspect's car.
Two persons previously arrested for drug trafficking in Montgomery County are now facing federal charges. According to the Mount Sterling Advocate, 31-year-old Nicole Warren of Mount Sterling and 21-year-old Carlton Holden of Dayton, Ohio, are now both in federal custody. Sheriff Fred Shortridge says they're accused of trafficking in heroin, fentanyl, and crystal meth. He says Holden is charged with selling drugs that led to three recent non-fatal overdoses. He's also reportedly a suspect in Dayton murder. Shortridge claims Holden and Warren were working together to peddle narcotics in the Mount Sterling area. He says the charges were brought in federal court because if the suspects are convicted, they'll have to serve at least 85% of their sentences.
President Trump's supporters began lining up early today to see him speak in Louisville. The president will be in Kentucky tonight for a 7:30 rally at Freedom Hall. Loretta Caballero drove from Wichita, Kansas.
Say what you want about him, but I think he kind of wants what's best for America, and the more that I see what he's done, the more I'm impressed with him. I'm kind of interested to see if he's going to mention immigration and what he says about that and what he's going to do about the health care and stuff like that.
Vendors are selling hats and T-shirts outside the arena that read, "Make America Great Again."
The White House says tonight's presidential visit will be focused on jobs and health care. Kentucky News Network's Will Clark reports.
White House Deputy Press Secretary Lindsay Walter says the president's visit's meant to reaffirm his campaign promise of bringing back coal jobs, along with pushing his plan to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act.
We need to be giving health care to all Americans, and health care that allows you the opportunity to choose your health care and isn't one size fits all, but that will help the American people, will be sustainable long-term.
Walter says the president's made it clear he's working across the aisle to pass his repeal and replace plan and is open to suggestions. I'm Will Clark.
One Kentuckian who will not be attending President Trump's speech in Louisville tonight is U.S. Senator Rand Paul. The Republican lawmaker talked about health care reform during an appearance today before the St. Matthews Chamber of Commerce. Then, Paul told reporters he was headed back to the nation's capital.
I've got to get to Washington so I can work on the coalition that is trying to defeat the bill. So we're not exactly on the same page on this.
The House may vote Thursday on the GOP's plan to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, and Paul hopes the bill is defeated. The Kentucky senator calls the House Republican proposal Obamacare light.
Congressman Andy Barr says President Trump's proposed 2018 budget is just a starting point for consideration of the nation's next spending plan. The Fayette County Republican answered questions about it and his party's efforts to reform the health care system at a town hall meeting in Richmond Saturday. The president's budget has drawn fire from both Kentucky Republicans and Democrats since it was unveiled last week. Barr tells Spectrum News that's not really unusual.
That's the way the founding fathers wanted it. So we'll look at the president's recommendations, but I expect that there will be changes. There may be increases in some areas from where the president wants us. There may be decreases from where the president wants in certain areas of the budget.
Democratic Congressman John Yarmuth has called the Trump budget plan cruel and ignorant. Republican Hal Rogers says parts of it are careless and draconian.
Congressman Yarmuth believes President Trump is going to have trouble getting many of the budget cuts he has recommended approved by the House and Senate. However, the Kentucky Democrat thinks there will be one exception, environmental protection. Yarmuth says there's strong support in the Republican caucus for reducing the EPA budget.
When you cut the EPA budget by the magnitude that this budget would propose, by 30%, you're doing real damage to the agency's ability to protect American families. And so that's another area. But that's the one. I don't see much support for most of these cuts, but I do see that is one that will be very popular in their conference.
Even so, Yarmuth says Donald Trump campaigned last fall on safeguarding the environment.
Kentucky's governor says the aerospace industry can be a catalyst for helping the state become the nation's epicenter for advanced manufacturing. Republican Matt Bevin says the field is already taking flight in Kentucky and its prospects for the future are bright. The governor made the comment last week during an economic forum in Paintsville sponsored by SOAR and broadcast on KET.
It's the number one contributor to our domestic product, to the wealth of this state, and it's our number one export is aerospace-related technology. And my vision for Kentucky is that we become the engineering and manufacturing hub of excellence in America, bar none, and we will make it happen.
As an example, Bevin cites a Jackson County entrepreneur who started a business in his barn and now employs dozens of people manufacturing products for Boeing and Rolls-Royce.
Kentucky Labor Secretary Derek Ramsey is counting on more apprenticeship programs to transform the economy of the Eastern Appalachian region. Ramsey says such initiatives should not be restricted to the construction trades. He says they can also make a difference for many other fields that require skilled labor.
College isn't for everyone. As we travel around the state of Kentucky, rarely, and I probably get in trouble for saying this, rarely am I asked about English teachers or history teachers. But on a common occurrence, when we move around, we're asked about skilled laborers.
Ramsey also made his comments at last week's SOAR Forum. It was held at the Big Sandy Community and Technical College.
The United Way of Northeast Kentucky not only met last year's fundraising goal, it blew past it in a big way. Director Jerry Compton says the agency had hoped to bring in $550,000 in contributions in 2016. However, it actually took in $644,000.
And that's going to help us, you know, continue our mission and our initiatives to better education, to prepare children for kindergarten, to see kids graduate from high school with leadership skills, and to see, you know, our families getting back to work, getting education that they need. You know, it's going to help in so many different ways.
The United Way of Northeastern Kentucky forms partnerships with various public and private entities to assist those various efforts in Boyd, Carter, Greenup, Elliott, and Lawrence counties. Compton says 98 cents of every dollar donated goes to those causes.
Morehead State University could have its next president in place very soon. Board of Regents Chairman Paul Goodpaster says he's been negotiating over the past several days with a lone finalist for the job, Dr. Jay Morgan. Outside of a few tweaks being done to Morgan's projected contract, he says those talks are nearing their completion.
I would think that we would certainly be in a position the first part of next week, knowing that this is spring break. Would really like to give folks an opportunity to get back on campus, get settled back in before we finalize anything and make anything public.
Morgan is a former provost at Murray State University. He currently works in the Academic Affairs Unit of the Kentucky Council on Post-Secondary Education. Morehead State has been searching for a replacement for current president Dr. Wayne Andrews, who retires June 30th.
Flemingburg's top official thinks a so-called moist vote has a good chance to pass in his city during an upcoming special election. Voters there will go to the polls on May 16th to cast ballots on a measure that will determine if restaurants that have at least 50 seats and derive 70% of their revenue from food sales will be able to sell liquor by the drink. According to Marty Voyers, passage of the measure could lead to some important economic investment in his community.
There are a number of different restaurants, particularly chain restaurants, that do serve alcoholic beverages that really won't even give a look to a community that where that is not available. So, you know, just for the chance of some growth there. Plus, we get a lot of people passing through the area or calling here to see about lodging and about food and where they can get something to drink along with a meal.
The special election for the moist vote was recently approved by Fleming clerk Jared Fritz as a result of a successful petition drive conducted by the county's industrial authority.
And finally, this afternoon, the Kentucky Department of Criminal Justice Training graduated 32 officers from that program on Friday. MSPR's Samantha Morrill has details.
Located on the campus of Eastern Kentucky University, the Department of Criminal Justice Training provides basic training for city and county police officers, sheriff's deputies, university police, airport police, and others under the state's Peace Officer Professional Standards Act of 1998. The graduates of Class 480 completed 23 weeks of training focused around homeland security, law offenses and procedures, vehicle operations, firearms, investigations, first aid, the mechanics of arrest, and proper restraint and control. Among the 32 graduates were Spencer Beam with the Boyd County Sheriff's Office, Corey Bradley and Seth Hatfield of the Catlettsburg Police Department, Mark Sparks with the Lewis County Sheriff's Office, and Justin Conley with the Fleming County Sheriff's Office. Reporting for MSPR, I'm Samantha Morrill.
Taking a look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, tonight thunderstorms likely, lows around 51 degrees, that chance of rain is at 80%. Tomorrow, overcast with stray showers possible, highs around 65 degrees. Tomorrow night, expect cloudy skies with possible rain showers, lows around 35, that chance of rain is at 30%. Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, highs around 44 degrees. And Wednesday night, partly cloudy, lows around 24 degrees. And taking a look at your current temperatures around the region, Ashland at 52 degrees along with Flemingsburg, Lexington at 58 degrees, it is currently 52 degrees in Inez, Winchester at 56 degrees, and it's 52 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
4:45, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It's great to have your company on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, Ravlin County Senior High School has added a new education program. MSPR's Victoria Agee has more.
The so-called cadet cadre class is being offered in two sections at RCSHS. It's teaching students basic military skills like the phonetic alphabet, radio skills, and the creed. Dr. Ray Ginter is the principal at the high school and is teaching the class along with PE teacher Alan Evans and Jim Stamper, the school's resource officer. Cadet cadre has replaced some previous military skills courses taught by Evans. Ginter says that it will better prepare students for what's called the ASVAB, an exam designed to test military readiness as well as determining common knowledge comprehension. He says the cadet cadre course is similar to the JROTC program.
It's run similar, almost identical to the junior ROTC program itself. So the biggest difference is that before the National Guard could certify a teacher, and now they won't certify a teacher.
Part of the plan is to teach students about how a color guard works so that RCSHS students can present the American flag at athletic and other events. Ginter says the class will also promote self-discipline and leadership skills and will also serve as career prep for many students. There will be a ranking system for students to advance through, as well as multiple levels of the course taught in the future. Ginter says that the students are excited about the program.
There's kids that really want that type of class. It's not necessarily to guide them towards the military, but to provide coursework that will help them with the ASVAB. And there's kids that just want the discipline.
Because the high school is updating its athletic complex, Ginter thinks that there will be ample space in that area for the cadet cadre students for their various activities. He hopes that it will change the program for the better.
You know, with that much space, we'll be able to do drill and ceremony and stuff indoors even when it's raining. So, you know, we do expect that this is going to catch on. And as kids get uniforms and gain pride, they're going to do color guard and ranger and all those different things. So I think it's going to catch on, and the program itself is going to grow a lot bigger.
There are currently 60 students enrolled in Ravlin County's Cadet Cadre program, with nearly 90 signed up to take it next semester. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Victoria Agee.
447, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon, and Braxton has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Folk Arts Center, presenting Joe Sarter, Morehead Mind Games. On display through May 13th, the exhibition features 4 dozen of the artist's paintings, which draw inspiration from the people, places, and landscapes of the local area, including Morehead and Rowan County. Many of the works will be available for purchase. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Kentucky Folk Arts Center is a cultural, educational, and economic development service of Morehead State University.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Kentucky basketball team is now preparing to face UCLA on Friday in Memphis as part of the NCAA Tournament Sweet 16. The Wildcats earned their way there yesterday by fending off Wichita State 65-62 in South Region play in Indianapolis. Bam Adebayo's block of Landry Shamet's potential game-tying three-pointer just before the final buzzer preserved the win for UK in the back-and-forth contest. Guard De'Aaron Fox says while the Cats are happy about making the Sweet 16, they're not spending time savoring the moment.
We feel like we could play much better the last two games, so if you would have came in the locker room, honestly, you would have thought we just lost the game just because, you know, we think that the expectations for us, for ourselves, are higher than that, so I mean, we'll celebrate when we feel that it's time to celebrate.
Fox and Malik Monk led UK with 14 points each yesterday. Adebayo had 13 points and 10 rebounds. Louisville's season ended with a 73-69 loss to Michigan in Indianapolis as part of the Midwest Regional. Coach Rick Pitino's Cardinals fell despite holding a 9-point lead with about 16 minutes to play.
We played the toughest schedule in the nation, finished 25-9, couldn't be prouder of the guys. But going forward, we've got to learn how important defense is because it's a... With the game on the line, we broke down defensively, not offensively, because we shot a good percentage in the game.
Michigan shot 63% from the field in the win. Mo Wagner's career high 26 points paced the Wolverines. The Cardinals had 3 players in double figures, led by Donovan Mitchell's 19 points. New MSU head basketball coach Preston Spradlin is working on hiring a staff of assistant coaches. He says he is looking for certain qualities in his bench partners.
I got to make sure that we've got guys, you know, that are very loyal and trustworthy. You know, being a younger head coach, that I get some guys that bring different experiences to the table. You know, maybe they get us into areas of recruiting that I haven't been able to get into yet. You know, some other things as well that maybe I'm not as strong at this point in time that I can surround myself with, so we can make sure that we're covering all areas as we go forward with this thing.
Spreadlin says his other main concern is replacing the five players MSU lost to graduation this year. Bowling Green won the first state championship in the school's history yesterday with a 67-56 win over Cooper at Rupp Arena. The Purples had made it to the state semifinals each of the last three seasons before losing to the eventual champions. Head coach DJ Sherrill calls finally winning one special. He spoke with WTVQ.
Words can't explain how blessed I am and how fortunate we are, these young men right here. You know, they come to practice every day. They do what we ask them to do. They work hard, just like Cooper's team and the other 14 teams that came up this week. It's a tournament of 16 champions. And, you know, the class and character, the coaches and the players here, to be able to come out of this thing as winners is it won't sink in for a while. It's a pretty incredible feeling.
8th grader Zion Harmon led the Purples in the state championship game, scoring 18 points. Round County will be holding a press conference tomorrow at 2 p.m. to announce its new girls' head basketball coach. Superintendent Marvin Moore says there was a total of 9 applications for the post, but he says the hiring committee looked for certain qualities in the new head coach.
The committee is somebody that really can come in and build the good, strong relationship with the girls, with the parents, and somebody that can build a strong fundamental. Somebody that we feel like is going to be the best fit for the program.
Round County fired Elaine Douglas last month after going just 10-20 this past season. The bad news for the Morehead State baseball team is that it saw its 8-game winning streak end with a 4-2 OVC loss Sunday in Nashville to Belmont. The good news is the Eagles are still 13-6 overall and 5-1 in conference, and Coach Mike McGuire says he's pleased by that.
You look at the schedule to start the season and say, hey, you got Southeast Missouri at home and then Belmont on the road, and you say, well, that's two of the toughest teams in the league, and every weekend's tough, but traditionally that's two of the top teams in the league that we're playing right out of the gate, and so to get off to a good start against those teams, I thought we played well.
The Eagles will try to get back on the winning side of things tomorrow when they play at Ohio University. The Cincinnati Reds say pitcher Bronson Arroyo will make his next start as scheduled on Thursday. The 40-year-old right-hander threw just 39 pitches during his Saturday outing against the White Sox before getting hit in the face with a throwback to the mound by his catcher Devin Mesoraco.
We didn't see it coming, and the ball hit him in the jaw, and that certainly was, I'm sure, shook him up. But he came out of it good. I think he went back to the complex and actually got loose and threw some more pitches. So, it was a pretty important outing for him to get stretched out. So that's what's so disappointing about that happening, but it happens. So it's baseball.
That's manager Brian Price, who adds Arroyo is doing fine after the mishap. And finally in sports, after a 6-week search, Tom Brady's game-worn jersey from this year's Super Bowl has been found. Houston police officer Art Acevedo spoke at a press conference today.
The jersey was subsequently recovered along with a jersey from Mr. Brady from Super Bowl, I believe, 49. That had been previously gone missing from that Super Bowl were recovered in Mexico and taken by the FBI and NFL security again to Boston.
According to the NFL, the jersey was stolen by a media member from a Mexican newspaper. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle Baseball will host Eastern Kentucky for 3 games this weekend, Friday at 3 p.m., Saturday at 2 p.m., and 1 p.m. on Sunday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
4:53, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. Bud Lou Caspin keeping track of Wall Street action for us this afternoon. Here's Bud.
Good afternoon from the national offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed mixed with utilities lagging, while investors turned their eyes to comments from several Federal Reserve officials. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 8.76 at 20,905.86. The S&P 500 was down 4.78 at 2373.47. And the NASDAQ Composite did manage a gain of 0.53. finishing at 5901.53. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 16 to 12 in favor of winning stocks over losers. In Federal Reserve news today, the Chicago Fed President Charles Evans said the central bank will wait until June to decide on the next rate hike. And, of course, the central bank did raise its rates for the second time in 3 months last week, but the so-called dot plot that shows each member's expectations for where rates will be in coming years changed very little from the December meeting. And, of course, most market watchers do believe that the Fed, when it's all said and done, will raise rates 3 times here in 2017. In the bond markets, bond prices were up today and rates dropped, with the short-term two-year yield slipping to 1.29% and the benchmark 10-year yield holding steady near 2.46%. And, of course, the 10-year bond recently has been as high as 2.61%. U.S. crude futures for April delivery fell 1.15%, selling at $48.22 a barrel. Overseas European equities traded mostly lower after the G20 failed to agree on a joint communication that supported free and open trade. And meanwhile, the pound slipped against the dollar after UK Prime Minister Theresa May's office announced the country will trigger Article 50 to exit the European Union on March 29th. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Caterpillar and Nike. The worst performers were Home Depot and Visa. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Advanced Micro Devices and CF Industries, while the worst performers were Kohl's and Macy's. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down $1.42 at $122.94, CSX unchanged at $46.88. Marathon Petroleum down 28 cents at $50.51, AEP down 33 cents at $66.14, AK Steel down 4 cents at $8.27, and Community Trust Bank was down 75 cents to finish at $46.30. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking one last look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, tonight thunderstorms likely, lows around 51 degrees, that chance of rain is at 80%. Tomorrow overcast with stray showers possible, highs around 65 degrees. Tomorrow night expect cloudy skies with possible rain showers late, lows around 35 degrees, that chance of rain is at 30%. On Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, highs around 44 degrees. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, lows around 24 degrees. Thursday, sunshine with a few passing clouds, highs around 57 degrees. Thursday night, mostly clear, lows around 44 degrees. And for your Friday, partly cloudy skies, highs around 67 degrees. And taking a last look at the current temperatures around the region, it's 52 degrees in Ashland, 52 degrees in Flemingsburg, 58 in Lexington, 52 in Inez, 56 degrees in Winchester, and it's currently 52 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
And that'll do it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Moraz, Samantha Morrill, Braxton Howard, and Victoria Agee. From the Kentucky News Network, Will Clark. This is Morehead State, Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BHINES. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Courtney Howell and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered, is next. It's 5 o'clock.